Summer Kasahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Time of the morning, baby, join our video. And I'm with Parak, Councillor Ahmed Parak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alana silent to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with another day. And what a beautiful nasheed of the Qasida Burta. What a beautiful, if only you understand how beautiful it is, Shafat, you know, it makes your day, Shafat.
Now, you're listening, Suleiman? Yeah, let Ahmed Parak do the nasheed slot. Hey, he'll do it with style, and he will tell you, that was Qasida Burda and how it was rendered and when it was rendered and when the poet saw in his dream and he penned this whole thing down and who got cured. Ahmed, hey, you're right up to speed. Tell us what's happening in the world of Kafan Dafan.
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, at the moment there's nothing much to report, only besides that one accident that took place last week, Sunday. But alhamdulillah, besides that, nothing else. We managed to get the post-mortem done on Monday, and the deceased was put to rest from Saul's pharmacy. The one son is still in, he's okay now. His two hands were actually broken, and he had some internal complication, but apparently from my understanding is that he is recovering very well at the moment. So, you know, accidents do happen, Allah knows best. So these are the things, but so far, with the help of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. This week was a very, very quiet week in terms of Dafan Kafan. There was hardly very few mayat in Durban and surrounding Shabbat.
Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I would like to know what is happening in Durban and surrounding areas. I believe that there is lots of protests, lot of strike actions, and that people in this area are not safe. Why is it like this, Ahmed? I don't know what to do. I was invited for a function this afternoon. I don't want to leave home. Please talk to us, Ahmed Parak.
Shabbat, at the moment, there's quite a few of protest action all over the city, all over Durban and surrounding due to service delivery. I mean, in fact, when people are hungry, number one, number two, what was promised to them, they do not get. That's where the anger has started, and therefore, after the 12th of April, there is a lot of service delivery. If you read the morning press, and one of my colleagues has put an article, which we assisted yesterday to get that article in press, that even the raw sewer is now going into our river, and especially people of Umslang are heavily affected in terms of that is concerned. So there is a huge problem in terms of in everything. As far as service delivery is concerned, you know, that's where our issues has come through. People are still living in the civic halls that was supposed to have been out by the end of September. Now we're coming to the second week of October. Nothing has happened. One or two halls have been promised that accommodation has been sorted out, when in fact everything was sorted out and the owners who were supposed to have given us the building has changed his mind, and then we had to put them in the Royal Hotel, which cost us for 2 days for about 30-odd people. These are all costing us, the city, a lot of money. So the planning from the city side is also, we can say, it's very, very weak because they are not planning ahead. They know what they have to do. And in fact, maybe the resources are not there anymore. When you get 27% of the ratepayers are not paying the rates at the moment, then you have a major, major, major problem. And that is the problem. And the other most important factor we need to take into account, all the government entities are not paying our rates, not paying for the utility bills, especially electricity and water. Now, we have said to the national government and the province that you're paying the education department for the electricity and the water. Why are they not sending our money to us so that we can keep our cities up and running as well? So these are the things that we are taking very, very seriously. We say national government, you know how many schools have you got. You need to pay us the money instead of paying it to the education department. Education department gives it to the school. School gives it to us. It's all administration, extra headache, extra manpower, extra work. Rather, you know what is our consumption for each school is, pay it direct to the municipality, and that way you will be in control and the money is reaching us.
Yeah, Ahmed, as I see the newsman, hey, you're a bit too early. You still got 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. Ahmed can talk for 2 minutes. I'm looking at this message here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Paduk. I want to know who pays for the autopsies done on all the bodies in the mortuaries. Ahmed, that's a very good question.
Shafat, when 3 years ago, autopsy used to cost the state. Now, when you take state, there's two entities to the state. One is the Department of Justice, and the other one is the Department of Health. Two entities work in the morgue. Now, the mortuary is divided into, when we say two entities, the one entity is the health department does all the storing, picking up the bodies, doing the dissecting. The other section is the doctors. The doctors do not fall under the Department of Health, but they fall under the Department of Justice. So that's where there's two entities. Then all the building of the police station, the mortuaries, all that belongs to now the public works. So there's actually three. Public works own the building. Department of Justice does the post-mortem. They are paid by the doctors are being paid by Justice Department, and the Department of Health picks up the body. They bring it in. They do the paperwork there at the mortuary. They sort everything out, and the body is released via the Department of Health. Now the question is, how much it costs to do a post-mortem? 2 years ago, it used to cost the the government, $7,500. Today, it's gone up to $12,500 per post-mortem. Now, the public don't pay for it. The undertaker don't pay for it. It is handled by the government. The government pays for it. So that's where we are.
Absolutely brilliant information coming from our very own Councillor Ahmed Paduk. I mean, we never knew about that. Oh, Ismail Jaki is already to deliver the news. So let's go to the news desk.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Yes, Raisa, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm listening to the news. And what's your comments? What caught your ear?
Shabbat, the very important one is when 11 huge, major investment that is coming from Saudi Arabia into South Africa. And I've said this previously. When the chips are down, you will find all these countries all over the world. They will come and put big, big money. They will put billions into South Africa and then get whatever they want. This is where that's how they prosper in their country, because they got massive investment in Africa. Yeah. Now, you take Saudi Arabia, one visit by Ramaphosa, and you're getting so many... So much of investment, 11 big major investment is coming. I knew about this thing from the day one when this thing was happening. So there is going to be massive money coming into this country as far as that is concerned. And maybe also our big minerals, diamonds and gold and everything will be sold to the Saudis as well. Then the U.S. is now have realized that Pakistan has got nuclear weapons. They are the ones that first took President Khan out of power there and put in a new government there. Now they have realized what is happening there. So, you know, their double standard is always a thing for the U.S. The fire that took place in Turkey, you know, they have managed to get it under control. The most disappointing and always it keeps popping up is the Israelis are killing our women and children in Jenin, and the whole world is surrounded by seeing what is happening. Yet what is happening in Ukraine, the whole world is jumping about it. Why are they not jumping about the Palestinians? The poor Palestinians are getting murdered by the Israelis. And lastly, Shafat, you know, the ESCOM issue is now on stage two. You know, it's not going to get any better. And we know for the fact even if they change the whole board, they change the CEO, nothing is going to happen in the near future. It's a long, drawn issue. That is the reason why we have to go and fend for ourselves in bringing solar panels and start bringing solar panels and start making sure that we got enough adequate electricity for ourselves, for our own usage, because it's not going to be easy run in the next 2 years. Yes, they will get it sorted out, but you'll see the guys from overseas will come and bite into this year, and they will take it over, and maybe they'll have to run it. It'll have to get away from the government, then it might just be able to be sorted out, Shafar.
Now, Ahmed, I can hear that Chacha there in Phoenix is telling me, hey, Shafar, man, you better ask Ahmed this question. He said, Ramaphosa, he left his posy and he's gone to the Arabs. Now, Ramaphosa is well known for getting a lot of money and lots of money. During the COVID, he got a lot of money, but he's not accountable for all this money. He just gets away. I mean, you can talk about big deals and big deals, but will those deals work out? Because where the money goes, nobody knows. Only Ramaphosa knows by his posy. How do you react to that, Ahmed?
Shabbat, you know, all the international people that invest in this country, yeah, because of the ruling party, they, you know, it's not a straight done deal. And you know what? International, they're breaking the international law as well in terms of not being a straight deal. A straight deal is when everything must be above 100%. And if they only take the cue 1,400 years ago, how a deal's supposed to be done, they read the Quran and they will know for themselves how a deal must be. Everything must be signed, sealed, no underhand thing. It must be public knowledge, how the structure and everything. Yeah, they don't do that anymore. That is the biggest problem, because every deal is a shady deal, and that has become a huge problem, because we don't know in this 11 deal, you know, how many billions of rands must be, dollars will come into the country, yeah? Where it's going, what this deal is all about, we don't know yet. Till that thing is, once it's sealed and signed and everything, then we'll be coming to know that they have bought this, they have bought that, and this is where we are at this stage, Shabbat.
Yeah, Ahmed, then, you know, many things happen here, and I'm looking at a question that's come through. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Bruce Chef. I really enjoy your rapport with Ahmed Farooq. By the way, the show is tops. Even Adam Kamda took us right into the yachting, and what a lesson you had given us this morning. Jazakallah khair for that. My question for beloved Ahmed Farooq is, I've been reading the newspaper the whole week. I'm still subscribed to the Daily News. A very good brother. And he says, I'm reading that Herman Mashaba says he will give it up with his party because they are selling him to, they're selling themselves to the ANC. Ahmed, why is this happening? I'm very worried about Action SA. What's going on, Ahmed? Please, we love you, but your party, we are worried. What's going on? How do you answer this brother this morning, Ahmed?
Shafar, firstly, when the articles featured in some of the papers and some of the media statement was given, now you must understand, in politics, to all our brothers and sisters, politics is a very, very dirty thing. It's so dirty that, you know what they say, dog eat dog in politics. This is how bad it is. So when you want to bring a party down, what you do is go and bad mouth somebody. When you bad mouth somebody, it filters in media very, very quickly. But if you put a clean, straight article in the press, people just read it and put it. But if you put an article that is bad mouthing somebody and things like that, people just, they go and read it. There is no such thing. Immediately, I did phone Herman Mashaba myself, personally. I said, and then I don't tell him Mashaba, I just call him, Herman, bro, what is happening here? He made it there. He says, Ahmed, you know how the media works? They're trying to, because we are winning ground, the DA are losing ground. You can find every week, even this week, tomorrow, the one of the top leaders, a caucus leader of the DA, left 3-4 days ago, and he's joining us tomorrow we're going to be, he'll be the chairperson of KZN. And people are coming left, right, and center from the DA to the Action SA. The reason is, Shafat, they know they have caught up with him. Even Hamul Mashaba, when he was the one of the top Rakis with DA, within less than a year, when he saw the way that the DA worked, there is no difference between the apartheid government and the DA, how they do. They still got that mentality. That is the reason most of the DA top Rakis are leaving and they're coming to Action SA, and that's where they're losing ground, and that's the only way to badmouth us, and this is what is happening. So Mashaba said there is no way. He's made it very, very clear. He will fix South Africa and then leave. That's what I want to do too. We'll fix South Africa, and I'm going to leave Action SA. Then I say I did my piece of work for the community, and I've done my part to save this country, and that's what's going to happen, Shafat.
Yeah, I read a small snippet there that his wife was not happy. He said, "Hey, you're giving too much. You're a one-man band, and you're sponsoring the party with your money." But moving on, I see another message. It says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I am confused. It is said that the media or the mainstream media is backing Jacob Zuma and trying to bring down the ANC. I'm wondering what's going on. I thought Ramaphosa was a blue-eyed boy for America and all the West. What's happening? Who is the media ready for? Zuma or Ramaphosa? Or what is our media all about? Are they captured or are they confused? Ahmed, I don't know. I'm confused also. Tell me.
You know, in the ANC, Shafat, there's three factions at the moment. You got the Ramaphosa, you got the Zuma faction. Now you're getting Kososana Zuma. She has come up with her own faction. So the problem is, you know, all these things happen in a way good, because it breaks the ANC up, and it will give like Action SA a much better opportunity to go and take much of the area that the ANC was governing. So that is a good side. But the long and the short is, the ANC for so long, for the last 29 years, they have brought nothing to the table, and in fact we have gone behind like 50 years. Now to fix South Africa, it's not going to be an easy mission. And now with coalition, the question you will ask, is coalition working in South Africa? It's a new concept in South Africa. Internationally, it is working in other countries, in other governments and everything else. Yeah, we still have to tailor them. In other words, you're bringing Gujarati, or you're bringing Urdu, or you're bringing Surti, or you bring a Memon, or you bring all different factions together and then mending it together, and then you say, this is our coalition. And I if you go back, you know, when Juma Masjid was built, and at that time the constitution is very, very clear, and Shafat, I think AB will stand by you with it, and one day you must ask him this question. It's the only constitution in the country that I have seen. There is in that constitution, they got, you know, Memon, Surti, Gujarati, everything in there. So there's no fight can take place, because that constitution is watertight. So if there's a problem or anything, you go to Wakefield, they open the constitution, and that's how it is. So there's no you get some places, the Baos only took over the Masjid or the Gojios or anything like that. It hasn't happened in Grey Street. Grey Street has got a constitution with watertight, and this is how it happens. So this is what happened in government too. It is a coalition that has to work together, because all from 2024, there will not be, and I cannot see that one party is going to be a ruling party in the country. It will have to work with the coalition. But the flip side of it is, and the dangerous part of it is, the EFF have now joined the ANC. At one stage, they didn't want Zuma, the ANC, they didn't want the EFF didn't want Zuma. Now they went back to the ANC. They're sleeping now together. So that is the only scary part. What's going to transpire there? We are still investigating, and how that is going to fail out.
Yeah, I'm at the question here. It says, good morning, gentlemen. Kane Rat gave me the link for the station, and he said I must address Munro on this issue. I'm an ex-player for Protea Power, so Munro will know me. Dear Councillor Munro, please, things are going out of control here in Lotus Park. Our old flats are being given to people from other wards. We belong to Ward 90, but people from Amlazi are given preference, and this is not on. Who do we blame? We find that our councillor is a non-existent. It seems as if he is intimidated. You, Munro, I knew you gave me a red card once. Please come and give the red cards in Orient Park and Lotus Park. Kane Rat gave him the link to the station. I don't know who's Kane Rat, but go ahead, Ahmed.
First and foremost, Ward 90 is got a councillor. And we know who the councillor is the DA councillor. Kane Rat and the people of Lotus Park, they must call him in, and they have to give him in no uncertain terms to say that this matter must be solved. Because you cannot bring people from the other areas and put them into Lotus Park when the people of Lotus Park are battling there to get homes. They have still got people are living in outbuilding. First preference, normally the city gives for the people of that area. Then only if there is no people of that area, then they bring people from the outside to fill that. Because they, you know, and also understand, there's a huge shortage of housing everywhere in the city. So that is the major reason. But you can't just, because now it is working with contacts and the councillor is not doing anything, the councillor need to bring this thing to book, and you need to sort the thing out quickly. That's the only way. If they fail in that, then they must write to the city manager, and then is the next part where we can then take it up right up to court and say, you know what, this is happening, and the ward councillor should be removed from that. Bring somebody who can deliver for the community.
Now, Amanda, what happens with the officials that are, you know, compromised, that have taken bribes and they make a plan? I mean, definitely they're working with a chain. I mean, they taking that bribe, in certain instances, they're asking for 100 grand and so forth, and they're getting the money. So they must be paying off, you know, different segments before they get the whole deal done through. And it seems as if there are cliques and factions in Itikweni that you can't break through. There's still that barrier. And, you know, as you know, they are put away, politicians are put away, even people that are working in certain departments. They have to be very careful what they say, what they do, because it's also compromised. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Shafan, it is very, very simple. You know, anything that is done illegally, we have got a ruling in the council, you report it. Most of these people, even if you are not part and parcel to that transaction, and you can see. Now you can see that certain things are happening. You send a letter. You don't even have to give your name. Tell them this is it, and then you can follow it up after 7 days. You can do that. But the people are afraid. They don't want to do it. They say, no, it's got nothing to do with me. You can see what is happening. Now everyone says the same thing. You can see what is happening. Why should I waste my time and taking this matter up? Nothing is going to happen. There's no such thing. If you do, and everyone else around you go and send that letter, it makes a big difference. It has to be tabled by the city manager. It has to be come before the speaker's office. And if there is no feedback, then we can take this thing to further level. And then we can make sure this thing can even go into press, as well as we can even take this thing to court. And that's the only way you can win this battle. There's no other way you can win a battle like this.
You know, another battle that is taking place, and it's a very serious one, where the ANC and the IFP are going for each other. And you look at the rural areas, I mean, it's predominantly run by the IFP. But you find that ANC accusing IFP of buying out ANC councillors and trying to bring in or put in IFP councillors. Has the IFP, have they got so much of money now? Where did they get all this money from, Ahmed?
Shafat, in the last election, that the municipal election, in fact, the Muslim community really assisted the IFP in terms of funding and everything else, and getting, you see, IFP, because of Buthelezi, and he has, you know, he's an old politician, and he's got a relatively a very good name with the business houses and everything else. So that's where he picked up quite a bit of funding to assist his party. And you'll see the major corporates, they don't only give it. You'll see the major corporates give funding. If they give it to ANC, they will give it across the board. They'll give it to IFP, they'll give it to ANC, they will give it to EFF, and they'll give something to Action SA and all that. They don't make it to be seen that they're only supporting the one party. Now, when you support one party, then you've got a big problem, because people will start not supporting you in your business. So that's how they do it, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, I'm also thinking, perhaps you can give me an answer here. How did IFP lose its stronghold here in KZN? I mean, you know, when the new democratic dispensation came into being, IFP were in control. But anyway, maybe that was a compromise deal that Mandela made. But IFP, do they have the credibility to, you know, perhaps govern this country, or even make a strong bid of secession and go for federal, you know, province and so forth, Ahmed?
Shafat, they tried it previously. They wanted to bring, especially KZN, under their options, under their control, with the Zulu King and all that. They tried it and it didn't work for them. The issue is, when in a party, when you have friction and when you have a breakaway, and then that's it, where it becomes a problem, because now you've got your good caliber of people who are working closely and getting things right for you, and then what happens? You get a breakaway. Then you have to restart again. This is what happens in politics. What they do is, now you'll find the ANC, they got their own intelligence, what we call, and they scrutinize what is happening on the ground. Who's winning the ground? They can see between the DA and Action SA, we're taking the chunk of it at the moment from the DA, and we're going to get a very, very good support from the community for the 2024 election. Now they can see that. Now this is where they will come. The intelligence will put something together and bring us down to say something wrong about us, and bring the DA up, and they will fight with the DA to bring Action SA up. You know, these things, they do it all the time in politics. This is what happens.
Looking at a message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak and Shafaat. A lovely show indeed. Allah bless both of you. I want to tell Ahmed that I live in KwaZulu-Natal. My forefathers, they also lived in this part of the world. And I hear a lot about the Ingonyama Trust. I want to know what shares we have as Zulu Indians in this country on the Ingonyama Trust. It seems as if it's only for the Zulu Africans. They should remember the King Goodwill Zwelithini called us his subjects. So we too are entitled to some land in the Ingonyama Trust, Indian Zulu Muslim. How do you respond to our Indian Zulu Muslim, Ahmed?
Shafat, the Ingonyama Trust has got lands mainly in the rural areas. And that land was at that time was demarcated for the Zulu Kingdom and everything else. And that's how the Ingoma Trust was formed, and this is what they put together. That's what they are doing. So I don't think there's any land for the Indian community, because this was prior to in the apartheid days, that this was set up for the Zulu, and this is the land that was demarcated for them all over. But it was mainly in the rural, it's not in the cities or any in the built-up area or anything like that, Shafat.
This question says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I really like you because you call a spade a spade. Like you, I find that the foreigners are still not learning. They're still stealing, they're still kidnapping, and they have the arrogance of talking loudly in my area. They don't bother. They come and hooter, and they talk in their language, and they scream at the top of their voice. When we tell them to stop it, they look at us as if to say, you'll be the next one we'll kidnap. Please, Ahmed, come and stop these guys. I'm fed up. Ahmed, your response to a fed up brother?
Shabbat, you know, in various areas, these foreign brothers are there in various. Now, what they need to do is, the only thing is report this matter to the Metro South African Police Services, and they will come and attend to this. You can't take the law in your own hands and start doing something, and then we will, you know, regret it, because then the law is going to be not against you, it will be against you. So that's where the problem is. But if there is serious problem in that area, then they must report this matter. So once you open a docket, then this matter can be investigated.
Second question there, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I believe that all these drug lords, especially those of Nigerian descent, have moved into the suburbs, and they live in plush suburbs, but they are contaminating the youngsters of these suburbs, and especially they target our young, rich, Lani Muslim boys and girls. Please, Ahmed, I advise our community not to sit on their laurels, but to be proactive. Ahmed, is there any truth in that?
But that brother, whoever he said that question, that question through to us, is 100%. What the, you know, there's two types of drug lords you got in the city at the moment, and you're right. Now to take the move the focus, they went to all these Ladida areas. They have gone to Amstlanga, Bilito, they've gone to La Lucia, they have gone to all posh areas, and they buy those houses. You know, even if the market value is 5 million, they will pay 7 million, and then they'll work. They think for them it's like free, because end of the day they make gold money with that. Now what happens, they go and target, especially now when I say two types of drug lords are in the city here. One, you get the Nigerian drug lord, and now they have moved, the Cape Townians have come and taken over the in our Indian area as well. Now, when you're finding all these brothers that you're taking place in overports in all these areas, these are the guys you're fighting for. What they call is a tough war. They're tough, so they, you don't come from anywhere else themselves selling. They're tough, and all. This is what they do. So now you've got two types of people that are selling drugs. And one day, the major business is who they target. They target the Muslim community. I'll give you one incident. One night, I don't want to mention his name, Ladida Lighty, he was hooked into this drug, goes and buy on a cash basis, you know, 100 rand a time for one cab or whatever you call it. And thereafter that, then they'll see how you perform. One day, 2 day, 3 day. After the first 6 day, they give you an open account basis. When they talk about an account basis, now the lady say, you know what, at the moment, you know what, I have to look for money. Now I don't have to look for the money. Now I can, instead of taking two tablets a day or three, you're going to take every day more, and giving his friends and all that, because he's thinking now he's got a credit facility. Now what happens? That facility has gone from 1,000 Rand to 5,000 Rand. The facility comes to a stop. They call that facility in. When they call that facility in, now this lady is Parishan. He goes to his parents. He first go and see where he can, in his house, wherever he can find anything to sell, to first pay the drug lord his 5 grand. Failing which, then he has to go and assist, go to his parents and say, now, you know what, I'm indebted here for five grand, please help me. And the parents want to know, what you need is 5 grand. It's a lot of money. For what? Then he opens up and says, this is. Then when they do a proper investigation, then they're realizing the mother's jewelry was missing, the father's watch was missing, this was missing, and this is what happened. So this is what is happening in our schools, and it is happening in our Muslim community. And this is how they make money out of us, Shabbat.
I tell you, absolutely brilliant, Ahmed. And you know, it's great to bring those issue up. And perhaps we shouldn't be putting things under file 13. We should bring it up on the open. And we, as a community, no, as a nation, should confront those that are poisoning our young minds, that are taking the youth away from what they were really made for, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being beacons of light, but they are thrown into the dungeons of darkness. Ahmed, I tell you, you were absolutely, mashallah, really enjoy you on Straight Talk with Counselor Ahmed Paruka. Your parting words this morning?
Javad, I make dua that, you know, Allah make it easy for all our parents, especially the school-going children that is going to school, that this element of what is kidnapping is happening, these drug lords are penetrating into our Muslim community and our children. Allah must make it easy. And I think now is the time the parents need to take account of their children, see the way the daughter is going, see where the son is going, and start looking after our own children. Because today we give them all the cell phones and everything else, and they lose focus on our children, and this is what happens. Then it's too late. Then you're running to a Maulana, then you're going to a Hakim, you're going this, that. It's too late. We are not looking after our children. You look after your children. You don't get somebody else to look after your children.
Absolutely, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead, and inshallah we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.